Let's get our Bibles out. So yeah, great to hear those relevant testimonies today. The Lord answering prayer, helping us in wonderful ways, and it's encouraging for all of us to hear what the Lord's doing in people's lives, and also encouraging us all to go to the prayer and fast, or even organise your own prayer and fast. As a structure, the assembly organises these prayer and fasts as a structure, as a guide. But yeah, it's definitely worth organising your own as well to get wonderful answers. So open to Hebrews chapter 13. This was read out a couple of times last week. But the title of this talk is Not Forsaken. Not Forsaken. So I want to start with a wonderful promise in Hebrews 13. Verse 5. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Let your conversation or your conduct, what you say, what you do, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And this is a promise God has written by man, by Paul, to the we think it was written by Paul to the Hebrews, and it plainly says, inspired by God, that that God will never leave us or forsake us. It's actually backed up in Deuteronomy as well that he won't forsake us, forsake his chosen people and leave them. But here it plainly says in a much better way, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And those words are just great for us to rattle around in our mind to remember that, regardless of how we feel. So that was important what I said, regardless of how we feel. So we'll look at some of Jesus. So go to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. And verse 41. John chapter 11. We'll start in verse 41. Story of Lazarus, a well-known story. Lazarus, who was a very close friend of Jesus, close friend of Mary and Martha. Well, sorry, it was his brother, Mary and Martha's. No, I'm not sure about that. Was it? Do you know if it was? Lazarus was Mary and Martha's brother. Yeah, and those two ladies were very close to Jesus as well, and he died. We get toward the end where it says chapter 11 and verse 41, it says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. So here Jesus is quite plainly saying in the ears of the people around, he said, I know that you hear me always. That's what Jesus is saying. I thank you that you heard me, and I know you always hear me. You know, Jesus was God's word in the flesh. So he knew that God will never leave him nor forsake him, just like we know that. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And he says this prayer to God as a testimony to those around him. And he says, look, I thank you that you've heard me, but I know you always hear me. Verse 43. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about him with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. So he starts this out, I know you hear me, Lord. I know that I'm praying in these words, and I know you hear me, and then this great result. Now, many other miracles. Jesus prayed to God, and many other healing miracles and deliverances happened at the hand of Jesus Christ. But the reason I chose this one in particular is he says plainly, thank you that you've heard me, and I know you always hear me. You'll never leave me nor forsake me. Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. And verse 39. So Luke chapter 22. And verse 39 says here, and he came out, this is Jesus Christ, and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. So this cup that he has to drink is the suffering, the torture, and being crucified, cursed, you know, hanged on a tree. It says elsewhere in the Old Testament, those that are hanging on a tree are cursed for God's will. And he says, look, if you be willing, Lord, take this cup from me. But I don't want it to be my will. I want it to be your will. So, and he says, look, not my will be done, but thine. And in this little passage, and then after that, he's praying to the Lord, there was an angel that came to him and strengthened him. Okay? Now, we come together. We come together fellowshipping to encourage each other, to strengthen each other. Just as this angel, I mean, scripturally speaking, we can be angel types to other saints to strengthen them. As we might be saying, oh, Lord, you know, why? Like, remove this cup from me, you know? But I don't want it to be my will. I want it to be your will that's done. And then we come together, we strengthen each other to carry on, keep praying, keep reading, keep calling unto a God who hears us. I know that you hear us. I know you hear that. We know we are the children of the living God. We're filled with the Spirit. We speak in tongues. He's done so much for us in the past. The value of these testimonies, the Lord doing stuff for us to encourage us, to remind us that he hears us. To remind us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And but what's interesting, in verse 40, it says, and when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. Now, why would he say that? You know, he's about to pray to God himself and saying, look, not my will but thine. And what's the temptation? The temptation is to give up on God. That's the temptation. And Jesus Christ is saying here, pray that you do not be tempted to give up on God. Because regardless of what we think or feel, God said he will never leave us nor forsake us. He will never give up on us. And he's asking us to just don't give up on him. And to remember that what's best in our lives is his will, not ours. And also to remember that, hey, there are saints. We're part of a kingdom. Kingdom of God, there are saints that to help and pray with and to strengthen, to be strengthened. So we have all this stuff and more, but what I've just described, in the background of Jesus' life while he was on earth. And then we get to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. And remember that it says elsewhere in the scriptures that Jesus understands, okay? Because he walked here on earth, you know, he suffered. He did these things that indeed he can have compassion on us and have understanding, and we can be reassured that he does understand. And then we get to Matthew chapter 27, and we'll start in verse 39. Matthew 27 and verse 39. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads. So this is Jesus, sorry, beg your pardon. He's hanging on the cross at the moment. And saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself if thou be the Son of God. come down from the cross. You know what they're saying is, look, if you are the Son of God, then do this. Prove it. Likewise, also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we just read, we just read in Hebrews that God will never leave us nor forsake us. We just read as well that Jesus said, I know that you hear me. I know that. You know, Jesus knew all these things, and here he is hanging on the cross, being abused, like emotionally, I suppose, like being teased. All his friends left him. He's about to die, cursed. And he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So, God said himself, he will never forsake us. And he also never forsook Jesus. So this here is a powerful statement from Jesus Christ himself. And I alluded to it earlier. He felt forsaken. Okay, that's how he felt. People will say that he took upon the sins of the whole world on his shoulders, and that's why God couldn't look at him. But we're sinful. You know, we have sin in us, and God can look at us and love us. It's how Jesus felt. And wouldn't you feel forsaken hanging on a cross? All your friends leave you. You know you can jump off the cross. You're the Son of the living God. You can jump off and carry on living life. Of course you would feel so far away from the living God. But the fact is, and the truth is, that God cannot lie. And God said to us, as he says to Jesus Christ, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so if Jesus Christ, like I said, like he understands us. He understands us more than we understand us. And he even felt forsaken. He even felt like God was not hearing his voice. He felt that God was far away. But God did not leave him. Even in this moment, it's just how Jesus felt, far away from his Father. And then miraculously, he was risen from the dead. It all came together. Jesus Christ was raised to glory, was given a glory that no other could have. He was the Lamb that was slain, that was worthy as well. Because he trusted in the living God, trusted in the living God that he will never be forsaken. Over to our Psalm chapter 73. I'm going to read this whole psalm, and I do like it. I think it's a psalm of Asaph. Psalm chapter 73. We'll start in verse 1. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Okay? It's an interesting start to the psalm as we read through, but it starts with this comment. God is truly good to his chosen people. But then we go into verse 2. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. In other words, stumbling, you know, falling away, leaving the Lord. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, How doth God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I'll speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. So setting a picture here, he's basically envying those of the world. They prosper, you know, they've got their boat and car and their house, their family. On Sundays, they probably go fishing and they go play sport. You know, they just seem to be doing all these things and think, oh, you know, they seem to have a good life. You know, the psalmist Asaph was saying, oh, you know, I near slipped. I was nearly tempted. You know, as Jesus Christ said there, pray that you fall not into temptation. I was nearly tempted to go. And then thinking, where is it? So verse 13 even, verily I've cleansed my heart in vain. You know, the years that I was following the things of the Lord, thinking, oh, you know, it was all vain for me to be washed by the Lord and follow the things of the Lord and like doing the right thing, you know, wash my hands in innocency and being honest and truthful, you know, looking at these people that lie and do all those things and they prosper, thinking it was a waste. Where do we go? But then we get to verse 16. When I thought to know this, it was too painful to me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors, as a dream. When one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant, you know, not knowing and trusting in the all-knowing God. I was as a beast before me, like even brutish, it says elsewhere. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me with my... Sorry, thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Praise the Lord. Come around, it was a mindset, a confidence in the Lord. And verses 25 and 26, I remember a few times, you know, when things didn't seem to be going right and I was in this position of envying others, you know. I remember driving and just singing those two verses. Whom have I in heaven but thee? You know, there's no one else. You know, my flesh and my heart fails, but God is the strength. And it's just so wonderful. These are true words. And this process that we sometimes go through. And we probably go through it over and over again. I mean, I remember another time years ago, I was down at Albany Camp, and I actually thought, I could wander off and do my own thing. But then there was a war that broke out between Palestine and Israel at the time, another one. And I thought, ooh, maybe this is it. And that's what I needed to kind of, nope, Philip, don't be so foolish, you know, don't be so foolish. As it says there, so foolish was I and ignorant. You know, I didn't have the full understanding. And praise the Lord, we understand here it's the Lord that keeps us. You know, the Lord that throws us these things to keep us. You know, It wasn't me that did that. It was the Lord that wants to preserve us. And who do we have in heaven but the Lord? Nobody. We know with a full assurance our flesh and heart fails us, but God is our strength. Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah chapter 29, and we'll start in verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God has a plan. We can't see it fully with all the detail, but God has a plan to know that he has it in hand for us with an expected end. Verse 12, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart. Search the Lord with all your heart, knowing that that when we pray, he will hearken to us. He hears our words, and to understand there's this bigger plan, this bigger perspective, that of course we're ignorant. We only have this limited time here that we can see now and also the past. We can't see fully with clarity the future. So we are ignorant in that frame. But know that we step out of that ignorance and then trust the Lord who can see everything and is not restricted by that frame, knowing that there's an expected end, which includes peace and not of evil. Over to chapter 33, Jeremiah 33. And verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison. So we can glean from elsewhere, it's like a dungeon that he was shut up right in the inner court, right in the middle of Jerusalem, and he was locked up in this place, a really low place. And then verse 2 says, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Okay? This trust, knowing that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, the trust that he has an expected end. He wants to show us mighty things which we cannot even comprehend. You know, we could try to do things at our own strength, but it's nothing compared to waiting on the Lord and waiting for this great and mighty thing that he wants to do for us that we cannot predict. He wants to do that so that then we can point the finger out and say, ah, the Lord did that, like we heard in testimony. You know, the Lord did that. That was a miracle from the Lord that we couldn't predict. We didn't organize it in our own strength, you know, running around and making it happen. It was the Lord that made it happen. John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 9. More words of Jesus. John chapter 15 and verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. And we have it here in the Bible. We carry the Bible around. We can read it. It's in a language we understand. He's given us the Holy Spirit to have this a dialogue, I suppose, in a way. We read the word, our spirit helps us understand it. You know, it goes back and forward. So we grow and grow more and more in the knowledge of the Lord. So Jesus Christ has called us his friends. Not a servant, you do this, 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 and this, but friends, drawing near, sitting down, explaining, encouraging, teaching, you know, and that's, and he has made known to us what the will of our Father is. He has, and we can read it. He made it plain to us when someone showed us Acts 2 verse 38. You know, repent, be baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit. He's told us or made known to us. And the reason I grinned then is I read Acts 2:38 before being invited to a revival fellowship meeting. And I've still got my first Bible, which I highlighted, Acts verse 2:38. It's highlighted in blue pencil. I went back there to check it out after I'd come to the revival fellowship. So I'd read it and highlighted it, but I had no idea. The Lord has gone to so much trouble to make things known to us, to send people, an angel, an evangelist, to us to explain, inspired by God themselves, to make things known to us, like a dear friend drawing unto us, to help us, to be with us, to never forsake us, to indeed hear us always. Okay, penultimate scripture, Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 20. So Matthew chapter 25, and we'll start in verse 20. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And we'll stop there. I just want to focus, obviously, on these 4 verses. These 2 people carried on following the Lord, doing the things the Lord asked them, and growing and bearing fruit in the kingdom of God, just doing it. And in the parable, Jesus says, look, you've been faithful over a few things. You know, we think of what Jesus did, the amazing things he did. For 3.5 years, what we do by comparison is few, little, tiny, you know, even in our own minds, like it's so small. But here the Lord says, you've been faithful over a few things. Both times he says it to both people. I will now make you ruler over many things. Enter the joy of thy Lord. So the Lord just wants us to keep plodding along, doing what little we can, but still faithful to the Lord. It may seem little to us or few to us, but it's worth it. And the Lord says, enter the joy of the Lord. Don't we want that? Shed this vile body and enter the joy of the Lord. If we just keep going, keep plodding along, remembering that we are not forsaken, remembering that we are Jesus' friends. He'll never leave us. He hears us always. We know that. Remember it in our minds. And keep doing those few things for the Lord. And then we enter into the joy. We're raised up forever. Raised up forever to dwell with him face to face. And he'll make it all worthwhile. Finish up Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. In a very famous couple of verses here. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, You know, just plodding along, doing those little things for the Lord. Not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You know, we sit down and we put effort in working out our own salvation. What we need to do to be there when the Lord returns. We think about it. We dwell on it. Because we all want to enter the joy of the Lord. Enter thou the joy of the Lord. So we work that out with fear and trembling. But what's awesome in verse 13, it says, for it is God that works in us both to will. So God gives us the desire, that wonderful D word, this desire, the will to follow him. But he also helps us to do, you know, to keep following on. To keep following his commandments, to keep doing those few things, those little things for the Lord, that desire to dwell with him, that desire to follow him, but also that understanding to know that if we carry on doing it, we will benefit because he's a dear friend, he cannot lie, and he'll never forsake us. Okay, thank you.